Before that, we celebrated 24 hours of prayer in commemoration of Jesus praying on Thursday night. And from that, we have these themes that are up around the sanctuary. And would somebody do me a favor? Would someone turn off the air conditioning? Because ladies are putting on coats. You're welcome, says the ladies. Anyway, so these different themes are the themes we focused on, four different things of praying to the Lord, because the Bible, Jesus proclaimed after he rode into Jerusalem, my house will be a house of prayer. So we want to commemorate that and pray with the Lord and make this a house of prayer. Give thanks because we're to present our requests with thanksgiving to the Lord. Being unified, we are called to be one body in Christ, and then to seek the Lord, seek his face while he may be found, and seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things would be added. So we're kind of doing a series on those different themes because we feel like this is one of the areas that the Lord is leading us for new things, some new things that God has for us. And so last week we talked about prayer when the disciples, of all the things they could have asked him for, you know, they knew that he walked on water. They saw him raise the dead. They knew that he could heal people that were blind or touch lepers and not get sick. They knew all this amazing stuff. But the one request that they had from Luke 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. And we began to focus on if the disciples captured that idea that they wanted to learn how to pray. Jesus then taught them what is now our version of the Lord's Prayer. And you think about how that starts out, our Father, which art in heaven. And so last week we talked about the fact and the truth and the reality that God is our dad. Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane that we commemorate so much from Mark chapter 14, verse 36, says, Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. We know that Abba means daddy or papa. It's a term of endearment. It's a term of closeness, that where God isn't something far off, far away from us, some creator God that we don't know or can't comprehend, or is just some being out there. But Jesus saw this closeness so much so that before he went to this garden, he prays, Father, may they be one as we are one. So this idea of that God is our dad, and then we can approach him. The Bible says in Hebrews that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. Romans 8:15 also reminds us of this idea. The Spirit you received, that's the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us when we give our lives to Christ. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Papa, Daddy, Abba, Father. So the interesting thing, when the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, where did it all begin? And Jesus really wanted to, it wasn't about the eloquence or the words that they used. It was this mindset to go, first of all, approach God as your dad. That there's this intimate relationship with someone who knows you. I love hearing Steve's stories, but think about that whole idea that he's talking about his children, and he's disciplining them because he loves them. That's the kind of idea. But it's also the fact that we don't have to be afraid, like God is going to somehow, you know, destroy us because of our sin. That's why we celebrate communion. That's why we honor the Lord. That's why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, that Jesus died for us. Why? Because the Father, Daddy, said so. And he obeyed him. So we are talking about prayer. We always have to understand that we misunderstand the idea of prayer is just us having a conversation with our dad. And sometimes we get way too formal, and we get way too, if you will, liturgical. We try to think that it all depends on our words and how much we say, when really Jesus is really starting there to say, it's not about you, it's about him. We misunderstand the purpose of prayer, therefore we misuse the practice of prayer. And when we have this mindset that we're talking to someone who loves us and he loves to hear our voice, he loves that you're communicating with him, that's what he wants to do. He wants to just have a conversation with you. But that also requires that, you know, like a child, they must listen to what their dad is trying to say to them, right? So we said last week, if the power of prayer depends on the one offering the prayer, then we are in trouble. If you think you got to say the exact right words, the exact incantation, the exact phrasing, and if you don't do it wrong, God's going to go, that don't count. I'm sorry, but you didn't say it the correct way. But if the power of prayer depends on the one who hears our prayers, then we have a little hope, don't we? The fact that he's our daddy, and Jesus starts out going, approach God as your father, and he's listening. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7-11, Jesus' word says, he's teaching the disciples, says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Jesus is talking about having this conversation. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Prayer really starts with this idea that God is our dad and that he loves us. And he's good. That really prayer is really, if we believe in prayer, we have to trust the character and the nature of who God is. And here Jesus is reminding the disciples that our dad is good. That if you, even though you're a dad, a human dad, and he says so much so that we're evil, we all know that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, we have all been evil one time or another, or several, or for a long period of time. And we're not perfect in our purity, even with our children. If we know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more someone who is perfect in character and holy and righteous in every way? He's our dad. And our Father reminds us, that's where we start with prayer. It reminds us of who we are. We're children, adopted children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it reminds us whose we are. We belong to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. The one who thought everything up, he thought your very physical being in existence and gives you every breath you take, that's who you belong to. That's a good place to start with when we want to approach the Lord. He's our dad. And note, we use the phrase in our modern language, holy is your name. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. What's this tell us about our dad? The old word, you know, in the King James and things like this, hallowed be thy name. It has a certain eloquence, a certain ring to it, but we don't really understand what hallowed means. Remember Moses when he saw the burning bush and the Lord speaks to him out of this flaming, you know, fern or whatever it was, and all of a sudden the Lord says to Moses, take off your sandals. For the ground you're standing on is hallowed. It's holy. That's this idea. Holiness is this idea of separation. It's set apart for something good and pure and right. And it's sacred. And it's sanctified. That's this idea of holy. So when you start with not only is God our daddy, that we can approach him as a father who loves us and knows us intimately, but we also can approach him knowing that holiness is a sign that he is good, that he is pure, just like not this evil dad that can give good things, but a pure God will always give us what is in our very best interest. Just like a dad disciplining his kids, we don't let six-year-olds drive around in cars. There's a certain common sense to that, isn't there? In the same way, then, the six-year-old must trust the father that they know what's best for them, and it's not best for you or society to let six-year-olds drive cars. Or some 66-year-old. But that's a different story, isn't it? Even the Ark of the Covenant was put in the Holy of Holies, the hallowed of all things hallowed. And it was sacred. and it was pure, and it was the place and the presence where the Lord dwelled. And even Scripture says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. This is a day set apart. It's sacred to the Lord. This is our sanctuary. Why? Because this is supposed to be a sacred day when we remember Him, that on 6 days God worked, on the seventh day He rested. And it's been hallowed ever since. And so holiness reminds us that there's a distinction between who God is and who we are. It's a form of worship. It's a form of humility to say, I bow before you. That's why we bow our heads and sometimes close our eyes. Sometimes that's why, as Priscilla read, they lifted up their hands and they fell prostrate. They fell down on their knees before the Lord. Why? They recognize that He is above them. He is over them. He is different than us. He's higher than us. And there's a respect and an awe and a dignity that is due Him. Yes, He's our daddy and we can crawl up on His lap. That's the tension, isn't it? We can crawl up on daddy's lap, but we also respect and honor Him in a reverent way. That's how we're to try to work this out. We're to see Him as dad and we're to remember Him as holy. That's where prayer can start. And if we recognize those things, we recognize the purpose of prayer is to see us changed. Because when you come into the presence of the Lord, when Moses was in the presence of the Lord, he said, take off your sandals, you're on hallowed ground, that changed who he was. And every time he went into the Holy of Holies or in the presence of the Lord, he'd have to come out because his face was glowing. It changed even his physical appearance for a while. He had to put a veil over because everybody could not see his face was shining. They were afraid. This was different. Something had transformed this guy. Why? Because when you go into the presence of the holiness of God, you come out someone different. That's supposed to be the idea of church. That when we come in one way, we hopefully leave a little more hallowed, a little closer to the Lord. And that's also the opportunity that we get when we pray. That every time that we go into our prayer closet, whether it be driving in the car or walking through the woods or just there at your desk or laying in your bed at night, there's hallowedness there. There's a sacred connection between a holy God who's your dad and who loves you and who wants to see your life full and vibrant and meaningful, whatever else is going on around it. That's the purpose. When you spend time with someone, the Bible even says bad company corrupts good character. Think about good company. We pick up his habits. We pick up his mindset. We pick up his attitude, his ways, his view of the world, the more time that we spend with him. And the more time we spend with him, the more we get his mindset and his mentality about other people. If you find that you're being grumpy and don't like other people very much, you need to spend more time with God. Right? Maybe less time with people for a period of time until you can start liking them again. Right? No wonder Jesus went to a quiet place often and prayed because everybody was clamoring on him and wanting a hold of him. And he, even himself, he needed to connect with the Father to recognize there's purity and there's love here. And there's my dad. And because of that, then I can go face the crowds. And I can give myself freely to them because I know I'm 100% fully loved by him. Holy is your name speaks of worship and humility and honor and right perspective. Prayer, again, doesn't begin with the eloquence of the prayer, but again begins with the heart of a Father who loves us and is sacred and is holy, and he's towards us. So, if he is good, and his character is good, and he knows how to good give gifts, and we just have to ask and seek, then let's pray, right? Why shouldn't we pray? Well, we all know the answer. Everybody knows, man, I'm trying to get to church on Sunday. I'm trying to show up here. Now you want me to do more. Let's pray is easier said than done, isn't it? Because we're just busy. And life is full. And we're trying to make life work, and it's up to me to make it happen. I got to go generate, and I got to be productive. Anyone ever feel like that? Life is hard. It rains sometimes. And when it rains, it pours. Oh boy, does it ever. Right? And we feel when the floods come, we feel a little out of control, don't we? So, when we feel out of control, who's in control? Some say no one. We know that's very popular in our world today. Life's just random. It rains on the just and the unjust. It's left to chance. So life is up to me to make it work. I got to go in. Maybe I'm get a little lucky. Have a lucky breakdown then. But what you're really saying then is, if it's up to you to make your breaks, who's in charge? I am. Not the I am. I'm me. It's really up to me, and I'm alone fighting the rest of the world to clamor and grab my life. Others say, well, no one's in charge, but we are. Education, that's where it's at. Government, get a good government, that's where it's at, baby. Woohoo! No one said amen. Science, that's where it's at. You know, just know more technology, get more wisdom, get more data, get more information. The more you get, the more you'll have. Science is where it's at. Folks, this has been a secular society almost since day six of creation. When we said, we want more. We don't want to trust your goodness or your character. We're going to clamor and we'll find our own way and we're going to get more than they did. People, programs, paradigms, philosophies, all those things run their course and they all break down and they all end up getting corrupt somehow. Why? Because people are involved and people are involved, and when people get in charge and say, we are, then it all falls apart, doesn't it? So the world has two choices. No one's in charge. It's just luck and randomness and chaos. Or we are. And then the irony is we continue as a world to get more and more cynical. We think, we got it, you know. Love yourself. Think of yourself first. Believe in yourself. And the whole time we're getting more enamored with self, we get more cynical that this world is a cruddy place. I don't see how that fits. But then we refuse to relinquish our will and our way, and we still try to gain control. There's another option. I'm hoping that you're on the same page with me that think you might know what that might be. And that other option is someone is in charge. It's not just all random. There is a randomness to life, no doubt about it. It does rain on the just and the unjust. It's not all every God micromanages every little minutia of all those things. He gives us life and gives us freedom. And there's freedom of speech and freedom of action and freedom of will. And so that's part of why we mess things up. But he's in charge. Listen to this story from Matthew chapter 8. Right after you get done preaching, there's a guy comes up to him and his centurion. It says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? Now, no, if Matthew's written to the Jewish audience, and the first thing that they would hear is that it's a centurion soldier. That means he's a Roman, that means he's a Gentile, and that means he's on the other team. And that also means that he's unclean because he's on the other team. And if you go to his house, that's an you shouldn't do that, because obviously a holy God, separate and set apart to be sacred and sanctified, really doesn't want to hang out with dirty people, unclean people. It also lets us know that he's a centurion soldier. That means he's in charge. Centurion, from where we get the word century, he's in charge of 100 people. He knows what it's like to be in charge of other people. And Jesus says, so what do you want? Shall I come and heal him? Note his response. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. Amen. This guy knows. He says, for I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. See, this guy got who Jesus was, and he understood, because Jesus goes, hey, you want me to come to your house and heal him? And what was Jesus' style? He would show up. He would touch the untouchable. He would converse with the corrupt. He would hang out and heal the brokenhearted and those that needed help. That was his style. He was a hands-on God. But this centurion understood something deeper and bigger about Jesus. He says, you just say the word. I know how authority works. I have faith in the authority system. I myself, I have a little authority. If I tell a guy, go saddle my horse, he saddles it. If I tell him, sharpen my sword, he sharpens it. If I tell him to march, he marches. I say, drop and give me 50, he drops and gives me 50. If you just say the word, I know it, I see it, I recognize it, I operate it by it, and you got it. You're the man, and you got authority. Just say the word. Because you're in charge. And when you're in charge, it'll all be okay. Jesus, later on at the end of his life after on earth and he's resurrected, he goes to the disciples and he kind of says, you get it, Matthew 28:18. Note what it says. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He's like, I got it all. Ephesians 1:22 says the same thing. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. And then again, Hebrews 1:3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. There's no doubt about it, folks. Someone's in charge, and Jesus goes, I'm the man. I'm in charge. I got all authority. The Bible reminds us that Jesus was with the Father at the creation of the world. And you want to see God? You've seen God. You've seen Jesus walk around, and you saw how he handled things. He's the exact representation, and all things are emanating and hang on his word. That's why the centurion said, you just say the word because you're the word, and you got the word. And when you speak things, they come into being, and they come into existence because all things are sustained by the power of your words. No wonder we should pray, because part of prayer is Jesus' words to us. He wants to talk to us. And all of creation was started by Jesus, God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Spirit, saying, let there be. Imagine if God could say, let there be something in your life. What could happen? What transformation could take place? You're in charge. I know this is hard to believe, but not my finances. Not the government, not my sickness, not my maneuvering. Just speak the word. There are three things that we need to learn to trust. He's our dad, he is good, and he is in charge. Amen. All three of those things are critical, because if he's our dad, speaks of relationship. He is good, speaks of his character, and that also speaks of trust, which leads us to the third. He's in charge. If he's in charge, I don't have to be. I'm way too little, and left to me, I keep messing it up. I suspect some of you might do the same. Left to ourselves, we make a mess and we become more cynical. I do. I'm not alone there, am I? But I like control. I'm a control freak. And I think I know better than God. I know that doesn't make sense, but I just do sometimes because I live inside my own skin. But when I relent and go, you know what, he's really good for me. He's not out to dupe me. He's not out to trick me. He's not out to send me to Siberia to some mission field because he just likes to be mean to people who are trying to serve him. I can trust his character. I can trust that he's good. And the fact that I can trust that he's in charge doesn't mean I don't have to control it all and I don't have to be in charge of everything. It's like saying, speak the word. I know you got this. We invite faith to come alive when we do that. And fear then has to get in the back seat. Christ is in charge, and he has authority over this world. He told the wind and the waves, stop, and they did. He spoke to the tree without fruit, and it withered. He commanded a fish to cough up a coin. Everything has to submit to him because he's in charge. Even our will and our ways, and even death was no match for him. Because that's why we celebrate communion. Because see, scriptures highly remind us that Jesus knew everything that was going to happen to him, so much so that he prophesied, he predicted it. He said, Judas, you're going to betray me. Peter, you're going to deny me. And all the rest of you are going to scatter. And on the third day, I will raise from the dead. I will defeat sin. I will defeat death. And from then on, I'll have the gates of the death of Hades and all of sin. And I'm large and I'm in charge. And I'm coming back again. The one thing he asks is that we trust, that we remember, that we honor, and that we never forget. He took charge on that night that he was betrayed, and he took the bread and the wine, and he changed it. That's what we now call it the Lord's Supper. It was no longer the Passover. We don't say, hey, come, let's take Passover meal. No, we say, it's the Lord's Supper. He took control of it. He commands it a new name. This is my body, this is my blood. Remember. Remember why this is how I defeated sin in your life and give you eternal life. I defeated sin and I defeated death. And this is the night that I took authority over all things. And if you'll just say to me, say the word, I'll also take authority over your life. And I'll be Lord. And I'll be large in charge. But I'm a gentleman. And I'm going to ask you. I'm not going to command you. I'm going to demand of you because I want a relationship with you. No wonder the next lines are, give us this day our daily bread. No wonder this is the bread of life. If you recognize him as your dad and if you trust that he is good and his intentions for you are good and if you submit to his authority, he will sustain you. He is our daily bread. That's what sustains us every day. The other morning, a few mornings ago, I woke up and I've been having a rough go. I like to be large and charged. No wonder I have a rough go, right? Some personal things I've been struggling with. I'm pretty private, so I don't normally tell all this, but the authority says you say this. I got up about 4 a.m., something was wrong with the dog. She thought there was an evil monster out there, so I let her out. I went out and looked up, and we'd been getting rain. It's like, wow, the constellations were just clear everywhere. I don't even know why I looked up, because I was just kind of groggy, but and I was like, the Lord spoke and said, see all this? I love you more. That's a good moment for anyone, even for a pastor. And it's like, because I love you more, then you're free to go love others. You don't need them to love you. I got this. I got you. Cool. So I went on and have been holy ever since. I've been on my A game ever since that moment. It lasted about 30 minutes and I fell back to sleep. This morning, I had to get up really early. 5 a.m. and had to get some things done. So I went outside, had to go to the car, get some stuff, drive something to one of our kids. And it was cloudy and rainy. Cloudy and rainy. And the Lord spoke again, to my amazement, honestly. I'm the preacher. It's like, See the stars? It's cloudy. They're still there. Just because you don't see them doesn't mean they're not there. And just because you don't know I'm in charge, I still am. All you got to do is just say the word. You got to trust and believe that I'm here when it rains and when it doesn't, when it's cloudy, when it's sunshiny. You got to trust that I'm good and I'm constant and I'm sure. I love you the same today as I did the other day. Now you're still just as free to go and love other people, even though you can't see so clearly. You got to trust me. That's prayer. I didn't pray very long. It was rainy. And I didn't say a word in my prayer. But in my heart, I go, got it. I went back in and went to bed again. I don't know if it'll last, but I do know that God speaks to us because he loves us. Amen. And I know he spoke volumes to me this last couple mornings, but I also know that he speaks volumes to us right now. I just got to remember they're there. I just can't forget that the stars that the Lord placed in the constellations and that he loves me more. I'd like to invite the worship team up today, and this is our day to remember. He loves us, and he loves us more than we can possibly know or imagine. And we don't always take communion, but once a quarter we do, so it's that day. And when we take communion, we just invite you to come down the center aisle, partake. If you're a Christian, if you've made Jesus Lord of your life, if you said, you're the authority over me, you're welcome at our table. I don't care what denomination you're from. I don't care what church you've attended. I don't care if you've even attended a church ever. If this is your first Sunday in a sanctuary, you welcome. You're my brother and sister in Christ if Jesus is your dad and your brother. And God is your daddy. But this is our reminder. And I need reminders once in a while, don't you? I needed to see the constellations. But then I also needed the Lord to speak even when I couldn't see them. You won't see communion this afternoon, but maybe we'll have a few moments where we remember and go, I partook. Give us this day our daily bread, and I had some. I had some spiritual sustenance that will see me through whatever's coming down the pike, whatever rains on my parade this next week. I'm going to trust he's my dad, he is good, and he is in charge. I'm going to bless elements and then invite you to come. So let's stand and pray. Father God, we bless this, your body. This, your bread, it sustains us, and it was hung on a tree for us. We remember the great work you did on the cross. And Jesus, thank you for pouring out your blood. We recognize that it was poured out for the forgiveness of our sin, and we bless you. And we do what you say because you're in charge. You've asked us to do one thing, and that is to humbly recognize and remember this is your body. This is your blood. We partake of it in honor that you took charge over sin and death. And we're grateful for it this morning. We worship you in our actions, not just in our words today. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, we believe in you. We believe that you're our dad. You've expressed that by the way you care. You discipline us because you love us. You don't always give us what we want because you know what's best, because you're in charge. Help us to see that and recognize that, believe that, and operate under that. You taught me a couple good lessons here lately. Help them to soak in when I get hard-hearted and stubborn-headed. And help us to remember that you're there even when we can't see you and even when it feels cloudy in our heads. Help us to trust that you're good, and help us to be able to converse with you in a way that you're our friend, that you're a good friend, and that you're a loving friend, and that you always be for us. And if you're for us, then nothing can withstand. So thank you for that. Thank you for the hope we have in you. Thank you again for your death, the defeated sin and death. Thank you for your resurrection that gives us hope beyond the grave, and knowing that you can now send us your Spirit each and every day. Help us to hear. Help us to walk with you. Help us to know that you're near. May we draw near to you, trusting that you'll draw near to us. Bless these, your children, your sons and daughters, and remind them every day that you love them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.